Hello? Hello?
Hello?
It's Scott. I'm here for my audition. Hello? Hello? Anybody here? It's Scott. Scott Movieton? I'm here for my audition. Oh, geez. I'll just walk around and go sit down.
Now it's garbage.
Another movie night.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the show. We are Just Another Movie Night, and I am Scott.
I'm Joe, and I am not here for the audition. I'm here against my will.
Are you against your will, seriously?
No.
Well, that's sad.
No, I am not, but I just feel like I need, like, some kind of compensation.
The things we do for enjoyment for ourselves and ourselves only.
I feel like I should be rewarded with some cookies and cream ice cream.
Oh, I'm sorry.
You know, like maybe like a nice like bowl of ice cream, and or maybe like Dr. Brown's cream soda.
Oh, geez, it's getting worse.
I mean,
Hey, Joe, what are we here for today?
Talking trash.
Talking trash indeed. This is our show to review, spoil, debate, crap on, and give second chances to the hated, the lowest rated, and the much debated and often forgotten flicks on the internet, all while asking the question, is this the worst movie ever made? And if not, what is? Because here on the show, we believe that you can't truly review films unless you know what the worst is. And today, we are talking about a movie that's tagline is Save the Last Dance for Hell.
No, it's not.
It is. 1989's Slash Dance.
My cousin's in town and I'm supposed to look out for her.
Yeah, and we lost her.
I could tell the damn story. We lost her.
Hi, is anybody here? I'm here for the audition.
Now, how are we supposed to keep track of every little tight body, huh?
She'll be working undercover, Captain Edison.
Not a move.
Keep her little heart-shaped ass out of here for a while.
I want to welcome you ladies to the Vance Lake Playhouse.
You look lovelier than you did on the videotape. And I might add that that was beautiful, too.
Are we screwing around again?
No!
Someone tried to attack Holly.
What's the matter? Get up on the wrong side of Sugar Daddy?
Sushi! Real fresh sushi.
Oh, God!
Quit messing around! This dump's reputation is already strange enough.
This was the major breeding grounds for the old Hollywood star system.
Now that you're a big star, could I at least be your groupie?
Never fall in love with your gynecologist, your plastic surgeon, or your director. It's trouble.
If anything happens to little Alice, my whole family's gonna be pissed.
We need the money.
If you want to go through life eating at places you drive through, it's your business.
Son of a bitch. We can't even keep the perverts around here.
Written and directed by James Shyman. Now, I believe that probably is an alias, because I can't find anything about this guy. It has a 3.1 out of 10 on IMDb from only 301 people.
Oh my God, because that's the whole cast and crew of this movie and their family members.
That's being very generous to the cast
and their ancestors.
And their aunts.
And their fourth their cousins removed.
Oh man, what a doozy we watched.
Great grandpappies.
The grandpappy. What a doozy we are ending our month of aerobics movies. This isn't an aerobics movie, although I would say there's an awkward and bizarre stage show warm-up that is some kind of aerobics.
That was a horror movie in itself.
Yeah, that
is. Trying to watch these broads have any sort of rhythm whatsoever and keep up with each other or even try any kind of jazz dance moves. I mean, yikes, man. Yikes.
You know, I'm going to tell you this. On this show, this is the kind of movie that I thought we would do more of. These kind of movies. We have been being very generous with some of the movies we've been doing. We've done some blockbuster movies recently. We've seen some movies that hit theaters. Very seldom do we ever watch movies this low budget and this maybe straight to video. I have no idea.
This was an after school special. This was on like CBS.
This is an odd movie. I don't know what this is. This does feel like an afternoon special.
It was filmed.
You said after school special. Yeah. After school special. I don't even know. Special. This is like a...
Like I was trying to be taught a lesson. You remember that like movie Crash Course with Tina Yothers when they go to driving school and it's like the after school special or whatever? That kind of shit. It was filmed just like that. And I feel as though I was supposed to be learning something here.
If that's true...
I felt like I was...
There might be... oddly enough, there might actually be a message, which is really strange.
I'm trying to figure out...
We'll get to it, I guess, as we talk about the film. But yeah, our guesstimation that this... To me, this movie felt like if Hallmark Channel or Oxygen were around in the 80s, this is the movie they would have put out.
What was the network that put on those after school specials? There were so many of them. This is like a straight to TV movie. Like,
yeah, where did afternoon specials air? After I keep saying afternoon, but after school specials. Like, where did those air? Because there were so many of them.
I know.
As a kid, do you remember watching a lot of them?
Yes, I watched them all. I never watched
them.
They all had Alyssa Milano.
Well, everybody who was famous
Brian
at the moment.
Brian Bloom and all those. Yeah, Tina Yothers. They were all like in those after school specials.
The only thing I remember about after school specials is when Helen Hunt hosted SNL and she showed that she was in an afternoon special about doing PCP.
Everybody does this? Only the crazies. Well, I'm glad you're sane. Well, I'm glad we're all sane!
Yes, and I swear to God.
It is the funniest bit. I mean, it is... I think this is where I fell in love with bad movies.
ABC. ABC aired them from October 14th, 1972 until July 1st, 1997. Yes. They were on weekdays. And I would come home. They were most controversial to teenagers and young adults.
Maybe we should search some of these out and watch them for a month.
Oh, I'm telling you. The movie was... They changed it. It had another name. It's called Crash Course. And it had everything in it that you'd ever want from, like, you know, the teenage movie. It was
I'm gonna
like,
give you credit for knowing any of this.
Yeah, man. There's a lot of famous people
I think
that.
I was just watching cartoons way too much. I watched a lot of Disney shows that were like... Do you remember, like, one of the channels, maybe it was ABC or something, they would have, like, Friday Disney specials? Do you remember this?
No.
I know. This is something I watched. Like, I don't even know if it was Friday, but it was like a certain day of the week, and they would do like little mini movies from Disney.
No. I know. Was it on cable? Because I didn't have
cable.
No,
not cable. It was like a regular Disney. It would be a regular channel.
Oh.
Like it would have been CBS, ABC. I would assume ABC is everything. when we were kids.
Well, I mean, the ABC seemed to be like the hub of all these after school specials. I mean, I was totally right. Crash Course. Look at this. Jack A. Brian Bloom. Alyssa Milano. Tina Yothers. Edie McClurg. Ray Walston. Like all these famous people. The chick from The Wonder Years, Olivia Diabo. She was the sister. Like, I'm telling you, they were all in. All these teenage people
Who's
were
Who's that in... one that you, that's in it that you said a bunch of times already?
Tina Yothers.
You said it so many times. I'm like, I don't think her name has ever been mentioned this much.
Well, she was in Family Ties.
This is only a couple minutes. This is only 7 minutes in, and we've already said her name like five times.
You know what? I'm going to say Tina Yothers one more time. Tina Yothers. I'm done now.
Oh, Jesus.
This movie was like...
Crash Course down, I guess, because I don't know it.
You've never seen... Oh, my God.
I have no idea.
If anyone listening to this has seen Crash Course, it was in 1988. It was on TV, and it was just so... Like, I mean, I feel like everyone's seen it. Anyway, reach out to me if you've seen it. I want to hear from you.
I mean, these were popular. I know a lot of people have seen them. I didn't watch a lot of this stuff. I don't know what I was doing. I watched so much crap.
You're
but
doing
again,
acid in your mother's house.
Not in 89. I would only have been how old? No way.
Yeah, you learned at a young age to be a delinquent.
Jesus. I guess it was from Helen Hunt jumping out of a window on PCP.
Oh, my God.
No, I mean... Well, I feel a little slated now for doing like a delinquent in my mother's house because I didn't watch Crash Course with who?
Tina Yothers.
Okay, we actually are here to talk about a movie though. Can we move on from Crash Course?
Fine. We're here to talk about
because I don't want a moment of this to leave my mind.
Okay. All right.
Well, first off, I'll just say this. The cast of this movie is pretty much made up of people from GLOW, which you definitely picked
out. I knew it.
I told you, don't look it up.
I didn't. I didn't look anything up, but I just knew it because Monster Lady, she was huge. And I was like, yeah, these two are, I remember watching that documentary. We watched a documentary on GLOW, and I remember that woman. She's hard to miss. She's about 7'2".
Yeah. And GLOW is famously the gorgeous ladies of wrestling?
Yeah.
I gotta run down some of the cast stuff here.
Please do because
I took some factoids.
Oh, good. Okay.
Okay. So our main star. I'll start with her name is Cindy Furta. She plays Tori.
Victoria Ann Rains.
It's Tori. They call me Tori.
Victoria Ann Rains. That was quite a bust.
Okay, this is the information I got. She not only played the manager of the team Nevada Hot Dice on the roller derby show Roller Jams, but she also was a member of GLOW Wrestling as Americana. She was also on Justice for All the Judge... Oh, Justice for All with the Judge Christina Perez. I only wrote this down because I thought this was hilarious. But she was on an episode playing Donna Bellflower. Now, first off, some people might think those shows are real. These Judge Judy type shows.
People think they're real.
Yeah,
really?
I guess. But this, she played Donna Bellflower in an episode called Rat Killers Killed My House.
Oh, my God.
In 2013. Yeah, this is what it says. Plaintiff Donna Bellflower sues Rat Killers Inc. for $1,500 for damages to her kitchen during a rat extermination when a smoke bomb goes haywire. Now, I'm going to search this damn episode. I'm going to search this damn episode out and see if I can get a clip of Tori from this movie.
I have to see it.
It's time for you to zip the lip and be quiet.
This will be a first.
Based on the evidence, I will deny your claim. Michael?
Yes.
Good luck. Good luck, sweetheart.
Thank you.
She finally smiled.
All rise.
Judge Perez has ruled in favor of the defendant. The plaintiff's claim is denied.
Then there's a bunch of weird, and this is the crazy thing. Like nobody else is really, everybody's in these weird little tidbits I found. Like, there's a guy named Logan. Do you remember who Logan is in this film?
Because yeah, I don't. He's the director.
I'm sorry, Mr.
Logan Bridger, madam. That is Logan Bridger.
Hi, love your work.
He's the director.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's James Carroll Jordan. He is basically a TV and cameo actor who appeared in The Kingsman 2, 6 Underground, and did some voice work for the video game Alan Wake 2 recently. There is J. Buzz von Arnsteiner as Amos. Amos?
Okay, he's the character that...
Simple Jack?
Yeah, Simple Jack, I guess. Okay.
Well, maybe if you'd given me more to do...
Then the whole place would be a parking lot.
Yeah, we'll go with that.
Yeah. We could do a month on just this dude's filmography.
Are you serious?
Here's some movies. Robot. I said it again. Robot. Robot.
Can you just get your life together?
No.
Get it together.
I say things people make fun of me for, and I don't give her.
You know what? Fuck them.
Fuck them. Robot. Holocaust.
Robot Holocaust.
Zombie Death House. Slammer Girls. Mutant Hunt. And I Was a Teenage Terrorist.
What? Okay. I got it. I don't want to say this, but I feel like I have to see those. Are they all in the 80s?
They're all over the place, but it gets better. Then there's John Henry Richardson as Edison. He's another one we could do a whole month of movies on.
Oh, God.
Here's some names. Okay.
Edison is the old guy or the...
I think Edison is the flasher, right?
Okay, he's the flasher.
Fun fact, we're wrong.
Oh, yes. Robert.
it's Rupert, sir. I stage manage your last production here. It's Rupert.
Get Married or Die. A Doggone Adventure. Nessie and Me. Busty Cops 2. The Bikini Escort Company.
Oh my God.
Bikini Chain Gang. And The Witches of Brestwick.
Oh, is that a porno?
I'm thinking softcore porn.
Oh my God.
All right. Then we also have Dee Boer, or AKA Queen Kong, where she is titled in this. She plays Rebo. She is very well known as the bearded lady in Spaceballs.
Hey, that fire escape pod, who are you?
I'm the bearded lady. What are you, one of the freaks?
No! Come back, you fat bearded bitch!
Oh my God.
She was also a roller derby star. Very famous for doing slammograms. Do you remember that?
Oh my God. So like
she would go to someone's house
as a happy birthday and then slam them on the
body slam. Yeah, she would do like a body slam type thing.
Oh man, I wish I had a job like that.
And she was the glow star Matilda the Hun.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I told you I knew that they were on Glow. I knew it. I did not know that What's-Her-Face Tori played Americana, which is a play on... Well, Liberty Bell was a play on Americana.
Yes, it has to. She was only in a few episodes of Glow, though, which is really odd.
Huh, interesting.
There's also Kelly Ferreira as Mavis, and she played Beastie on Glow.
On Glow, okay. The blonde, yeah, I know. She's Repo's friend.
And then I just wrote a couple weird random ones. There's a couple weird random women in this dancing in this movie that I have like no real thing to do in this movie.
Was it really dancing? Was it, though?
Yeah, we'll get into that. But I had to write some of these down. One of these was great. Her name is Sherry Blum, and she played Annie, which is the first girl that walks into the opening of this movie.
Oh, okay.
Okay. She's in a movie called The Pricks from Pluto versus The Vaginas from Venus.
Shut up.
Yeah, I can't even imagine what that one was.
That's a bad movie night movie.
Yeah, I mean, that's a maybe stay away from. Just looking at it, it looked worse than this.
Oh, man.
Cynthia Cheston as Alice, and she's oddly in Godzilla Final War.
Really?
Yeah.
What the hell is she in that?
I don't know. She's the only American looking woman in the whole thing. And she's in a shitload of Japanese films. She's like a jazz musician, and she was in Blood, the Last Vampire, the live action version of it. Very strange. Yeah.
Okay.
Those were the notes I took.
Interesting. Okay, I knew right off the bat when I first saw the two that they were in GLOW, but I did not know about Tori, so that's interesting.
Which makes sense because they have the fight.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, they have a fight, which is pretty obvious that they're wrestlers. Yeah. Yes, yes.
All right, so let's talk out this film. Let's get into the dirt, because this was a instant joy for me, and then a complete letdown.
Well, it started out
off
like,
and on like a roller coaster ride.
This is on YouTube. That's how we watched it. It's 1 hour and 20 minutes. It felt like it went by in 17 minutes for me.
Yes, it's very quick. It's very quick, but there were a few times where we were like, "Oh Jesus."
Oh, I said, "Oh Jesus!" like 70 times.
The person who edited this film also gave up halfway through, because multiple times in this movie there is no audio for transition shots of the city.
It's so quiet. I actually asked you, did the audio crap out? Because there's supposed to be a city like noise or cars or whooshing.
My first thought was, well, that's funny, because in the first half of this movie, there are, well, at least the first 15 minutes of the movie, there is overdoing sound effects and to cover scene noise. So there's like an overboard amount of seagulls being used in the opening of this movie. Almost like they took it out of the movie The Birds.
I know, and that's what I said to you. I'm like, I fucking hate birds.
Yeah, the opening of this movie made me think of Birdemic.
It did.
Yes, and there's a lot of moments in this movie that made me think of Birdemic. Amazing CGI. But it's 89 after all.
Say amazing.
It's outstanding. Coat hangers? It's
coat
outstanding. Hangers. One day we're getting there. But that's funny, because they're doing so much overboard ADR clips. And I thought maybe something happened where they used original music. And maybe during those clips where there's no sound, maybe they used original music and someone on YouTube just removed them because they didn't want to get flagged. But then I'm thinking, that's not true, because during those no audio, no music or anything playing, a voice will come in. So the clip will play into the dead air. So you know it's not overlapping. They couldn't remove it unless someone really went out of the way. And I don't imagine anybody went out of the way to remove audio from it like that. So the guy, whoever made this movie, just gave up. They just gave up. At least three times in this movie.
Oh, man.
Where there's no audio, right? There's no music during the city shots.
Well, yeah, because they probably realized that they didn't have the money and the budget to pay the guy.
Well, this is funny, because you point
left.
You might be right. But you pointed this out, because I said to you, the soundtrack in this movie, I know this is from another movie. Like, I know this score.
Mm-hmm.
And please search it. You searched it on your phone, and it turned out to be in the public domain music.
Yeah, it's public domain. And it's like, that means it's been used in countless movies.
Yeah, and I'm really struggling, because I searched online trying to figure out who used this music this much.
This is a composer that actually just makes almost background music for movies.
And he did it in the 80s, apparently.
Yeah.
I want to look into him more. I could not find facts out during this movie.
Yeah, so his
name is Ira Taxon. Yeah, and I guess the score was Insanity?
Yeah.
So I guess that's free to use, and I know I've heard it in a bunch of movies before. I wonder if he originally wrote it and used it in a movie, and then it went into the public domain. I'm a little shocked it went into the public domain, because it's only 81, but I guess... Yeah, I don't know. I mean, because 89, someone just randomly used it.
I mean, he went to Juilliard. Yeah. I think he was a professor there. I'm not sure.
Kind of blown away by this. I know it, but I'm so mad that I couldn't find like a list of movies that have used it. Usually I can find that, but I couldn't find it at all.
Well, his works have been sampled and used by the New York Philharmonic, the Cincinnati Symphony, St. Paul Chamber Orchestra, and like many others. So,
yeah, I wonder if he's on IMDb too.
He does musical theater workshops. So he's like, his work is just used by a lot of different people. But so, anyway, the music in this was very generic and very like reminiscent of like...
Well, it was because it has been used.
Yeah, yeah. Any other horror movie, and it's hard to pinpoint because you probably have heard the score of this movie in every other horror movie.
Yeah, or at least for the people who know bad horror movies, like straight-to-video horror movies, or have one of those box sets with 50,000 movies that came out in the 70s, 80s, and 60s. And then you're like, oh... They all have the generic sound. Okay. Then these clips from these composers that went into the public domain.
Like our Instagram friends, our B-movie fans, our cult fans, our friends on there that love crappy movies like we do.
They would catch it.
Yeah.
So this movie starts off. It's so funny. It's starting off. We didn't know where we were at first. It was either like maybe Miami or L.A.
I saw the trees and I was like, it's California.
And we see a woman getting ready to lay on the beach, and they keep playing as they show shots of the water, terrible shots of the water. It looked, like I said, Birdemic. It looks bad. And then you just hear overlapping of seagulls all over the place for shots of just trees, no seagulls on screen at all.
No, because I think that what they did here was because the seagulls were so goddamn loud, and you could only hear the waves crashing. You wouldn't hear the dialogue or anything that was really you're supposed to hear. So they filmed it in a different location. That's what I think. The actual scene here was not filmed on that particular beach where they were filming the seagulls.
It could have been. They could have just mic'd that person.
I mean, really, though?
They probably did, because the seagulls were not from the scene. Those weren't seagulls being filmed. Those noises were not happening at this beach.
Hmm. Yeah, that's weird that they would put that in.
When I said it sounded like it was ripped from The Birds, it might have been a clip from The Birds when the birds are attacking.
Could have been.
It was like bizarre. And then we see her on the beach. We see her laying down on a towel, and a guy comes over.
This is our protagonist, Tori.
Tori, and in a trench coat. And this guy comes over in a trench coat, and we went, wait a minute, is he going to flash her? And then he starts talking like he's like intellectual.
Yeah. At first I thought he was British.
I don't know why. He's just really snooty, snotty. and he does flash her anyways. And he has he wrote a poem.
Excuse me, you're blocking the sun.
Rupert is the name. A poet as free as the ocean wind. And like a chiseled rock, I shall reveal my cock.
And she says, you know, basically, take your little thing and get out of here. You know, and he's like, well, people these days. Like people on the beach are so rude.
He's so insulted that she didn't, like, really get a kick out of his penis being flashed to her, you know, when she's just trying to sunbathe and stuff, you know.
Yeah, she's like, you're in my sun, now get out of here. So the next shot, and this is where it gets really interesting. We have to watch her get back dressed, get back up, get the whole thing. We have to watch everything. And then suddenly she's in an alleyway where a woman has brought her to buy steroids in a cartoon alleyway that is clearly shot in someone's garage.
It's definitely a garage. It's definitely a garage because someone strategically placed a filthy mattress. under some boxes.
They were supposed to hide it a little better, but they didn't hide it.
No, it was not even, they didn't try to hide it.
What I love is that above them is supposed to be fencing, but it's clearly someone hung one of those nets of some sort.
It's one of those
plastic net mesh things. Yeah,
it's supposed to look like an alley. But meanwhile, number one, the walls are too white. There's too much lighting.
I don't even remember them being white. It just looked like a gray garage with like a... They're even on one of those barrels that you see in movies where people are always lighting fires in them to keep warm. They have the barrel and then they have the bag, like a gym bag with drugs in it. And now these two women are some of the worst actors imaginable. They are both the glow actresses that we were talking about.
It's Repo and what's the other one's name? Mavis?
I believe Mavis, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, they walk off. Tori walks over with Mavis.
This is her.
I saw Mavis on the beach. Great body. Figured I could use some help bulking up.
Here, we got enough steroids to make you look like the Statue of Liberty.
How much?
You can have the whole thing for $200. Yeah.
Police, you're under arrest for selling illegal steroids.
A cop! You brought me a fucking cop? Well, how did I know she was a cop?
You have the right to remain silent.
What are we fighting for?
You have the right to remain silent.
Cop's fault? Yeah, let's kick some ass. Yeah, let's crush a cop.
It's... Okay.
Like, they're doing, like, the tooth, like, hitting each other. One is gigantic and the other one is shorter. But once Tori reveals that she's a cop, they have a fight. Because they go... We don't care. We can beat her up.
Yeah, here's the thing. I understand why they picked these two individuals, but why did we need this silliness? I mean, I'll tell you why. Because there's a connection in a small way, but it's just...
Get all your glow friends together.
Yeah, but I mean, it was so... I don't even want to say it was comical, because... They didn't deliver the lines, like, I mean, just terrible. Like, we've seen Glow, you know, we watched a couple episodes of it, and I gotta say, they deliver the razzle-dazzle better on the mat.
Oh, absolutely.
And they can't do it in this movie. Like, not even for 2 seconds, you can't say a line. Like, pretend you're on the mat, you know? Like, you're better out there. It was ridiculous.
It is crazy. And the delivery is just...
It was like almost like there's two people practicing lines for a school play. That's what it was like. It was terrible. It was absolutely terrible. I was like, okay, these two are better seen and not heard.
Yes.
Shit. Lord ass. I'm doing the talking here.
Okay, enough. Cool it.
Why, they already think she's an asshole. It's true.
And of course they have a nice fight. And this is just hilarious. And I was... so happy right here. This is the movie I was like, oh my God, this is a great one already. Mm-hmm. Like, this is the kind of movie I'm waiting for to watch on these episodes that we do on this podcast, because it's just so silly. And like, just us laughing at the moves they're pulling off and seeing the terrible set fall apart around them.
Oh my God.
Because that fake fence wraps up in one of the girls. She goes flying under, and then the two women having to act like they're knocked out, and just the only way they know how to do that is to have their mouths wide open, like, ugh. And apparently we now cut to the police station, and Tori is talking to, I guess, her captain.
Yes. Now, can we just say that she has I'm guessing they're partners, but he looks like Steve Guttenberg had a baby. With like,
it's not even Steve Guttenberg. It's the guy who replaced Steve Guttenberg. I said it's Al Bundy in high school.
Oh my God. It is. Yeah. This guy looks like Al Bundy.
Yeah,
like
when Al he was Bundy. Young. And who's the guy who replaced Steve Guttenberg when he left and did Miami Beach?
Oh my God. The guy with the blue eyes.
The guy that played Costanza was working for Lloyd.
Lloyd Braun.
Lloyd Braun. That actor, he looks like him and Al Bundy.
Lloyd mixed. Braun.
Yeah. It's unbelievable. And I guess this movie should have been called, instead of Slashdance, it could have been called, like, Men Suck.
Oh my God.
This movie could have been called Men Suck, and I would have been fine with it, because I never so many times in my life have said during a movie, I fucking hate guys. Like, guys suck. This is so terrible.
It didn't really affect me as much as it affected you.
I was mad during the
movie. I know you were mad, because so here we are. Like, we have Tori sitting next to her partner. I don't even know his name, but they're sitting in front of the police chief and talking about her next undercover assignment as a police officer. And the way that this police captain speaks to her is so, oh my God, it's so demeaning. Yeah. It's so sexist. It's just, oh my God, it's awful.
It's unreal. He actually stands up and virtually puts his crotch right in front of her face during a shot. I was mad. I was like, get the fuck out of her way.
You literally, you son of a bitch. Get that out of her fucking face.
I was so mad. This is me. That's just me in general.
Well, you're a very sweet, polite
person. I don't like people being treated like that. I just can't stand it. Very and when I respectful. See a movie where it's coming out of nowhere and the characters are just extremely forced, it gets me very angry.
Yeah.
And that's all the scene is.
It is.
And then you were saying that they were talking about their next assignment. No, he's actually telling her that she did her assignment wrong, and that she's although she's like a super cop who apparently took down Ooh, what the hell was that coming on? Cooking might have poisoned us.
No. Oof. You okay? I'm gonna go down and get you water.
No. She's apparently a super cop because apparently she had taken down a serial killer or something once before, and they said she got awards for it. And he's like, yeah. Basically, he said, we're gonna let those two women that she just wrestled, we're gonna let them go because you read them their rights when they were unconscious. And she's like, but they were selling steroids. And he's like, steroids isn't a big deal. And she's like, you tell that to the kids. They're all messed up. And he's like, let them all grow into a puff, like a donut or something like that, he calls them. And then
doesn't he call them like cream puffs or something?
It's close, but he said something like a glazed donut.
A glazed donut. That's what he said. Glazed donut. I'm like, I don't understand what that even means.
Yeah. Steroids doesn't exactly hit the top of my list of priorities, you know?
What about the kids whose lives it ruins?
If they want to go around looking like glazed donuts, that's their problem.
We keep getting her forced backstory. This movie's hilarious with that. It doesn't go anywhere. She keeps saying, like, my sister died from drugs. I'm trying to take them off the street so that never happens again.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, yeah. You're going to... your antics are enough, you know, trying to get on the cover of magazines because you're hot. You know, and I'm trying to actually make a difference, and everybody loves me. This guy is such a douche. He actually tells her to get out of the room, and then he talks to the other cop, who's like, sounds like he's her acting, like the head. They're not partners.
No, he's probably just her boss. He's above her
somehow, yeah. And then he's like, she's a great cop. And he's saying all this stuff to support her and be really nice about how good of a work she does, like everything she does, and that she goes undercover. She's an undercover agent, and she's taking out so many people. And this drug bust is a good thing. And he's like, not the way that she's doing it. She's acting above the law, whatever. You know, that whole crap that you've seen in every movie. But now you think, oh, this is a good guy.
Yeah.
So the next shot, it comes into the hallway. And of course, flirts with her. Now, this is her friend who just stuck up for her. He's like grubbing on her arm, asking for a date.
Grubbing her arm?
I said rubbing. Well, did I say grubbing?
I like grubbing.
I think I said rubbing her arm.
No, you said grubbing. But grubbing sounds much...
I guess because I'm angry about this douchebag.
Don't be grubful, okay?
I don't know if I could take it.
I love you, but you did say grubbing. I'm here. I'm doing my...
Get your robot and get the grub out of here, Joe. You son of a... How dare
you? Oh, my God. So this guy, so he's asking her, oh, hey, you want to go get a drink? You want to go get dinner? She's like, no, you need to go home to your wife. But I have left my wife 3 months ago, and now I'm sleeping on a couch with my buddy.
Yeah, and if my neck hurts tomorrow, it's your fault.
Oh, because why? Because what? She won't sleep with him?
This is said so many times in this film.
He tells him so many times to go back to his wife.
Yeah, this movie, anytime these two are talking to each other, like randomly later on, they're playing pinball in a bar. And he's like, so, you want to go out tonight? You want to go get some dinner with me? You want to go see a movie? And she's like, no, you should go back to your wife. And he's like, nobody will lay me around here.
And now audio from every one of their meetings.
One.
I know. A good friend, Jeff.
Maybe I could be more than that. You know, if we could get together outside of this place.
Jeff, not that again. You've got a wife and two great kids.
Tori, you know I haven't been living at home for more than 3 months.
Well, give it another shot. You've got too much to lose.
Look, you and me, think about it.
Jeff, you're a good friend.
Damn.
Two.
Damn. Can't score on anything anymore. Now that you're a big star, could I at least be your groupie?
You know, I'll even give you my autograph if you move back home with your wife and kids.
Three.
Maybe I could drop by for dinner.
Home cooking is what you need. Your home.
Isn't it time you started thinking about settling down?
A guy who's sleeping on a friend's broken down couch lectures me on marriage?
My wife doesn't understand me.
She understands you and she loves you. Jeff, it's you who doesn't understand you.
You're right. How about a movie?
Back to business.
It's so
forced. The hell, yeah.
I'm like, no guy in this movie is worth a damn. They're all trash. Every single guy in this movie is trash.
Trash. Yeah. There isn't anybody. Yeah.
I mean, not even like her cop partner, friend, or whatever.
That's who we're talking about.
Yeah. Like, yeah. He's the worst. And so, like, I mean, they've been friends for years, they said. And still.
Yeah. Like, and she's like, oh, he even goes, oh, next you're going to be calling me that you think of me as like your brother. And she goes, well, and he's like, ugh.
Yeah, like it's almost supposed to be like tongue-in-cheek kind of funny. But
it's not. It's not like, coming it's off creepy. Nice at all.
It's annoying. And so he's repeatedly doing, you know, saying stupid shit to her to get her to sleep with him and stuff. And it's just very off-putting.
And especially since it keeps trickling down. Like the guys go for, like the captain is insane.
Oh, he's so over the top.
Like a sexist jerk.
Just
and
the worst.
Then it goes down to, oh, this guy, he's pretending to be nice, but he's also a jerk. And then it trickles down more. So the opening is actually, and I forgot this, it actually opens with a murder. We actually see this woman come into this really bizarre place that we find out is the playhouse.
Yeah, this is actually a murder mystery, we should have mentioned.
Yeah, it's a murder mystery, I guess.
But with everything we're talking about right now, it just sounds like a normal 80s piece of crap.
It is. So, I mean, pretty much. But this playhouse, I don't know how to explain this enough. It is a factory of nightmares. I don't know what is going on in this theater.
I believe I can assist with this. So this theater is a rundown, probably almost going to be for sale place. All of this theater's props. So this is, it's not a movie theater, but from the outside, it sure does look like a movie theater. So that's number one. So number two, this girl walks in and she's in her, like, you know, jazzercise clothes and her workout clothes. And she's like, hello, I'm here for the audition. Now, all you see when she's walking through these corridors is just creepy-ass mannequins and weirdo statues. Like, shit you would have in, like, Dracula's castle. And
it's like gargoyles.
Or in Buffalo Bill's house.
Oh, yeah, that makes more sense.
Like,
this is like a Mardi Gras nightmare.
It is. And the mannequins are so goddamn creepy. Like, they're just creepy. But why are they in this playhouse?
Yeah, but the thing that bothers me about them, they're not in, like, normal spots, like, standing around the room.
No, they're hanging from the ceiling.
They're on the walls. They're all, like, lit in neon colors.
Yeah, like, I don't know what is happening right now. Like, this is this. If I was going to a dance audition and I saw this shit, and no one answered me when I called out the first two or three times, hello, hello, I would turn my ass around and be like, peace out. Yep. I'm gone.
And that's what happens. This woman calls out multiple times. And then she just decides to take a walk through it, right?
She goes through and she finds this. Yeah, she finds a stage and she puts on her headphones and starts like warming up.
I can't even believe she found the stage. It's like Spinal Tap when they couldn't find the stage and they kept walking around the back.
Oh my God. That's what it looks
like, because there is no direction to go right to a stage. No. Like when you enter any playhouse, this stuff that we're seeing is in the back.
Yeah.
For some reason, it's all in the front. I don't really understand. If we're entering from the back of this place, they don't really make you understand, but you see cars going by the front.
Yeah, so she is coming through the front, but it's everything like is in chaos. Such disarray.
Yeah.
We find out later why, but I mean, we get a little bit of an explanation as to why. But so she's warming up her dance moves. Nobody has answered her, mind you. Okay? Nobody. So nobody's there.
There's just like one spotlight on a table.
Yeah. And so she starts warming up with her headphones on, and a guy in like a black cloak just uses a saw and cuts her neck. Like, what? Okay, what?
It's one of those table saws. And it's just like, he also has that hangman. Like the hangman sack on his head.
It is. It's like all dark. And it's got
the
rope,
the noose around the neck.
With a cloak. And I'm like, okay. He looks like an executioner. I have no idea what's going on. So he cuts her neck with this saw. I was like, okay. Like, I was like fine with it. Because how dumb are you? Like,
he doesn't even cut her neck. She actually is doing a dance move. And she turns. And he's sticking the saw out. And she literally just cuts her own neck on the saw and dies instantly.
Yes. Now we see no dragging the body off or any of that. It just, okay, cuts to the next scene.
Which is this cop basically going, trying to, she's trying to do her job. And she gets stopped by the two wrestler women. And the wrestling women are saying that their cousin, her cousin has gone missing.
Yeah, so Gigantress or whatever her name is, Repo. Yeah.
The ones that she wanted to put away for selling steroids now want her help.
Because her cousin's missing and, you know, like gone without a trace, and the family's like freaking out. And so she's like, okay, Repo, I will help you. So we get...
And I guess the thing is that she was going on an audition. But she knows, they know that she didn't run away, but she's gone missing. We don't know where she is. Can you help us? Yes. But we get these little tidbits, right? So in the first maybe 20 minutes, there are these awkward jumps. Okay. So we get Tori. Not only do we get Tori, we get very strange Tori flashbacks where she's riding in her car and we hear her talking to somebody. In her mind, we're hearing flashbacks through her mind, which are terrible audio scripts that I wish we could print out and read, but I couldn't find them anywhere because it sounds like we're only guessing, because I think we see a shot of her at the morgue in one of these flashes. She's at the morgue and she's talking to her doctor, and the doctor says, and he talks like this,
"Your sister. Do we know what happened? She died of a drug overdose."
"That's not possible. My sister didn't do drugs."
"But she died of drugs."
"She got them from a party."
"Do we know who got the drugs and gave them to her?"
"No, but I will. He killed her."
"That could be true. These things happen."
Right? That's these scenes. And we keep seeing it. And now we get...
That's pretty good.
Thank you. And we get a scene of her shooting a gun. Now, it's in a black thing. So what we're guessing is, did she find the guy who sold...
And she shot him.
Who drugged and shot and killed this dude?
Yeah.
And we don't really know, but we were like, maybe it's a driving range. But I'm like, no. I think that's what they're trying to tell us. So we keep getting these throughout the movie.
And it's like this weird, like, voiceover guy. is talking to her, and we're listening to this, and we're like, okay, why are we supposed to know any of this? Like, they don't show us anything. It's just happening in her head.
We keep getting away. Oh, and now the second one of these, I have to keep talking about them because they're amazing. They come out of nowhere, and the second one goes something like this. I'm sorry about your mother. No one knows where she found the razor blade. Is your father taking it okay? No, he's not. He won't communicate with me. I'm sorry to hear that. It's a terrible tragedy. Did anybody ever find the killer of your sister? Yes, they did. And what happened? He disappeared, and nobody knows where he went. And in another shot of her shooting the gun.
Oh my god.
I'm nailing it.
You are nailing it. You definitely are, because that scene was word for word.
We're deeply sorry. I have no idea how your mother got a hold of the razor blade.
Doctor, my father just sits in silence.
Go on with your new life, Tori.
I'm trying.
Now that you're working in law enforcement, did they ever find the guy who fed your little sister the drugs?
Yes. Yes, they did.
Was he arrested?
No. He disappeared. Vanished off the face of the earth.
But honestly, I don't understand. Like, now her mother has died. When did all this happen?
Her mother committed suicide?
So all of this has happened in the same, like, time frame, I guess. After the sister died, then the mother died. And the father won't speak to her. Why do we need any of this shit?
I feel like that's the better movie.
I mean, is it, though? Because I was like, okay, this is weird. Are we going to say she has some sort of, like, mental illness and she's the murderer?
I didn't know where it was going.
No idea.
I was like...
Like, what are they putting this in here
this
for?
This has to come back to something, right?
No.
And while we're getting those, we're also getting more women are showing up for the auditions. And the second one that shows up is a country western singer who does the exact same thing as the first girl, walking around alone, yelling out, hello, hello, and not caring that nobody's watching, and said, well, screw it, I'm going to audition for nobody.
For nobody. It was the stupidest thing I've ever seen. I was like, you know what? Just kill this bitch already. Because I was like, what? Why are you walking into this disgusting theater, first of all? It's your first mistake. No one's answering you as you're calling out. It's pitch black in there, except for one tiny little spotlight. You get up there, and you start singing.
Terribly,
mind you, to absolutely no one.
Yeah.
I mean, I was, like, waiting for her to get killed. I was like, just, can you hurry this along?
Yes.
And it happened pretty quickly, too.
And this is where I couldn't understand if this movie was a parody. Because, well, and it might be,
I but think
I
it
can't
is.
Tell because the rest of the movie isn't funny, per se. Woman is getting killed with a noose around her neck, and as she's dying, she says, did you not like my performance? I can do it again.
She's making jokes as she's getting strangled to death.
A good shot at this kid. I can dance too.
At that point, I was like, okay, we're watching. This is a joke, right? This is a joke movie.
It was hard to tell at this point. Like, it seems to be taking itself seriously with these weird flashbacks in her mind. But I don't think it ever gets back to this, except for maybe one character we're going to talk about soon.
Well, here's the thing that bothers me about the coming plot here, is the fact that no bodies are ever found. But
at the end, they found.
Yes, at the end. However, when the movie is going on at the time, they don't find bodies or any reason to go looking for these people other than Repo looking for her cousin that's missing.
Yeah, I mean, they already said that women are missing and a country western singer is also missing. They reference them and then Repo happens to come to her and also give plot. But why she knows that this is the place that they all went to, I guess it comes down to their answer machine.
Well, but- no, because she had her schedule. The cousin wrote down her schedule on those pieces of paper.
So she knew she was
going
to try out.
And so she knew she was going there, to that theater, to try out.
Well, then that's enough reason.
Yeah. So then we have Tori, who's our police officer, she goes undercover and she becomes, she wants to audition for this show.
Yeah, that... so that's the plot of the movie now, is that the slash dance is that the whole plot of this movie is that the two people who own this movie house that people are being murdered in, this stage, you know, like a whatever, this playhouse, the two people who own this shithole are these two brothers. All right. And so one is the more stable brother, I guess, the one that's sick of the other one, while the other one is the only way I can explain this actor or what he's doing is that he is Ben Stiller's Zoolander. He's Ben Stiller's Zoolander, but playing Simple Jack.
Okay, so his name is Amos.
That is the only way to explain. This acting is frigging crazy to watch. It is all over the place.
Yeah, it is.
And he is doing, he's even doing Magnum. He's crazy. He's talking like this. And then all of a sudden he'll be like, you jiggling your butt. I'll get you.
Yeah. I said to you right off the bat, I was like, as soon as Amos was introduced, I'm like, this motherfucker is the killer.
He's earned the nickname Stall. Get me more time. Actually, things are going well here. Very well.
Shouldn't you be out wiggling your butt? And not your tongue.
There's no way he's not the killer.
Also, just look at the poster of this movie. You want to take a second and look at the poster of this movie? Because it tells you who the killer is. Maybe?
Okay, well, first of all, the poster is pretty bonkers.
Yes.
None of that happens at all.
None of what is on the poster happens. No. But the actor who is this character is above them with a knife.
Look at her tits.
Oh, I know. It's unbelievable. Like,
okay, first of all, this poster is the most ridiculous
fake out
I have ever seen.
Yeah. This is false advertising. Heavy false advertising.
100%.
So the actor is behind him. And when I'm talking about it, he actually looks like a Ben Stiller character. I am not kidding.
He does.
He has the black hair. He looks like he's even got his muscles. He looks like he's doing Zoolander face. It is crazy to watch. And he is, I would say, like the guy who was in the Scary Movie that you met, that played Doofy.
Oh, yeah.
I would say that he watched this. Like, there's no doubt in my mind. Like,
I don't think anyone's watched this.
Well, there's 301 people who have rated this
and
movie.
We already talked about Grandpappy, you know, and the fourth cousin.
We'll get
removed.
Into that. We'll get into that in your segment at the end of why it can't be any of the cast and crew and only people who watch this movie. So,
oh, my God.
So we meet these two. Now, yes, he for some reason has his mentally challenged brother with him. And they're running this place into the ground. It turns out that their father, who owned it, who was like a legend in the, I guess, in Broadway-esque or plays or ran this place, he hung himself in the inside of this establishment. And it's kind of been downhill since then. And what's going on is they're hoping to resurrect the playhouse by getting an old... one of the people he mentored, who became a huge Broadway director, to come back and for some reason do this little crappy place and bring up like a new play with his name on the marquee so they'll get views.
Times have been tough around here since Dad
killed himself.
Famous, damn it.
What do you call it when a guy hangs himself in his own dressing room?
Well, your name on the marquee is what this playhouse needs.
The show we did.
Didn't draw flies.
Shit!
It's what the critics call it.
Well, maybe if you'd given me more to do.
Then the whole place would be a parking lot. Logan is what we need.
What now ensues is they have a whole bunch of women come in that they have chosen off a VHS tape, we're told, that the women had VHS tapes that they tried out and he liked them and picked them all.
Right. Because obviously if they came to this theater to audition, they would be killed. So yes, they had already put in their audition tapes and won the role of whatever.
And it just so happened out of the, I think it's only like maybe eight, out of eight, Tori somehow got in.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. You know, she's also a great dancer. She can do it all. She's a wrestler,
yep,
a cop, and a dancer, and a Broadway star, apparently. So she comes in. They are all now dancing. Now, they set up this whole thing. And also, by the way, the stage director just so happens to be the flasher from the beach in the opening of this movie.
Yeah, I feel like they just didn't have the budget to hire another actor.
It was so odd.
Used him.
Yeah.
Now, this guy is supposed to be, he's a stage manager. He's a production manager. Why is he going around showing his balls to random people on the beach?
Yeah.
And also, can I just, I did say this to you at the time. She was a police officer. She's a police officer. He flashed his balls to her.
Yeah, why didn't she arrest him
for indecent exposure?
Well, they didn't even care about the steroid bust. Why would they care about this guy's balls?
I mean, true. I mean, what does it matter?
And he actually escalates his streak, his flashing. He actually flashes one of the women dancers in a scene in this movie for no reason. At the Playhouse.
I mean, is there any reason to flash anyone ever at any point ever? I mean, what is the reasoning?
I mean, no, but why would you do it? Why would you shit where you eat?
I mean,
why would you do it at all?
This guy has half a brain cell in his skull.
True, but he apparently has been doing this job for a very long time. That everybody should know him, and no one ever knows who he is. And he leaves the movie very quickly. When Tori comes in, they see each other. And he recognizes that she is the one that he flashed. And he's like, I've never been to the beach.
It was so stupid.
It's so stupid. He pretty much gets kicked out of the movie after that.
Yeah.
Especially when he flashes one of the girls and Tori catches him again and he gets thrown out.
Mm-hmm.
So he gets fired for flashing the girls. So it doesn't matter about this guy. But now talk about the dancing, Joe. Because I know ever since Nomi hit our eyes when we watch Showgirls.
Okay, please. I cannot ever discuss Nomi again. I don't want anything to do with Showgirls to ever be brought back into my memory. However, I was thinking, watching these particular women dancing, and just how terrible they were. I mean, there was zero effort happening here. Zero. And I was ashamed for them. Especially the one blonde that looked like she stepped out of a Whitesnake video. She looked, I mean, she was trying very little. I mean, I think maybe she was the sister of one of the boom mic operators or something. That's how she got this gig. But she could not dance to save her goddamn life. It was terrible. I was like, okay, well, it doesn't matter anyways because all of these broads are going to get killed. That's what I thought.
That's what we thought, yeah.
Yeah. No.
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 Very surprising.
No.
Yeah, I mean, so.
Not one of them.
None of them die?
No. Nope. Not one.
Well, they start getting characters, and their dance number, not once in this movie did I think, oh, it's about to be a serious Broadway play.
No.
They're doing just can-can dances.
Yeah.
I don't really know what's happening, and they're all studying the moves off of one of the women who is in the lineup. It's not like anybody's directing.
There was no choreographer.
Yeah, no directing.
There was nothing. And I'm here thinking this whole time, this is my problem with this movie.
I know.
How about the fact that none of these women are getting killed? I feel as though, like, as a horror, it's supposed to be a horror movie. It's called Slash Dance. That one by one, they'd be getting picked off. No, nothing. There isn't any elements of any of my 80s horror, like, tropes, okay? There's no gore, there's no boobs, there's no sex, there's nothing. And I wanted all of these women to get killed. They were fucking awful, just to look at them. Awful.
One of them named Maxine, She's a star, by the way. I know everybody knows that. Maxine has got a lot of men that she dates, and they give her presents. And she is given what she describes as hooker heels.
Can we talk about these hooker heels? Okay.
Well, I only bring them up because they're very important to this film.
They are very, very important to this film. Probably the most amazing weapon of all time in any horror film. I will say that. Number one, can I just say that these are not even stilettos. They're not.
They're not. They I know. Are I noticed this too.
Regular pumps. They've got maybe a 2.5-inch heel.
I'm learning.
Okay. 2.5-inch heel that is not a stiletto. You could literally rip a throat out with a stiletto heel. No, not these. These are fugly, okay? Fugly leopard print jobbies.
And they seem like see-through, like they crystal have, almost.
Like, I mean, ladies, if you've seen any shoe from the 80s, you'll know that the sides of the shoe have like this see-through mesh thing that's supposed to be sexy and it's got some sparkles on it. The sides of the shoe are like that, but the rest of the shoe is hideous leopard print. I'm sorry. Anyone who knows me knows I hate animal print clothing. I don't like
when we first started dating, I bought you some clothes. And I remember I bought you, I'll never forget it. I think I bought you leopard print. And I just thought it was so, like, it was going to look so good on you. And I think you, like, hit it. And I feel so bad about it still to this day. I'm like, man, that was really, really
well,
bad.
Well, you had just met me and you didn't know my disdain for turtlenecks, leopard print clothing, you know, stuff like that. So I don't like any animal print clothes. And you won't catch me in shoes like that ever. I was like, oh my God. I was thinking, these fucking shoes are gross, but they're going to come in somehow. Literally, there's no murder in this movie except in the first 5-10 minutes. Like, there's two girls that get killed. All of these dancers make it out alive.
Yeah.
It's so upsetting.
Now, the only reason... Now, we're getting... When I say this, there's a lot of clips of the dancing. That's where the boring comes in. But the weirdest oddity happens. Tori ends up sleeping with the director.
Yeah. Now, this is mind-boggling.
This one blew my mind. I didn't understand.
I thought it was going to be Maxine with the leopard print heels that was sleeping with him because she just likes to use men and get what she can from them. So I was like, okay, she's sleeping with the director. No, no, no. Tori, our protagonist police officer, undercover cop, is sleeping with this director. Now, he looks like Artie Lang.
What?
Like, it's like...
it's like Gerard Depardieu.
He looks like Artie Lang had, like, a romantic escapade with, yeah, Gerard Depardieu. And then the product...
I don't see the Artie Lang
the
at all.
Product of their love was meatloaf. That's what he reminded me of.
Wow.
Yep. That's what he reminded me of.
But a healthier meatloaf.
A little leaner.
A light loaf.
Leaner.
A light loaf.
Yeah. Yeah. Light loaf.
Oh.
That's what this guy is. So he's the director of the movie, of the play or whatever. But some shit. The show, it supposedly has like singers and dancers, but we don't ever see any singers.
None of that.
It's just stupid. There's no rhyme or reason to anything that's happening in this movie. There's nobody getting killed.
But,
nothing.
But the thing is that with Tori with the director, what bothered me, not before, I don't want to leave that too quickly because it's so odd and we were taken back by when it occurred, because Tori seems like they had set up a character who didn't fall for men's crap, right? And that was like a thing where all the guys are really awful. Mm-hmm. And every man we've met has been awful. We got a flasher. We got a jerk boss. We got another boss who's acting like also trying to take advantage. And then we have two brothers who are just assholes. One is just crazy, I don't believe. We forgot to say that Amos just eats a goldfish in front of all the women dancers.
Yeah, well, here's the thing that we didn't disclose about Amos. He likes playing around with the props in the back room. And yeah. He's always getting in trouble from his brother about touching the props. Yeah. Well, he has a thing with that. I mean, that's definitely coming back, but he eats the goldfish thinking it's a prop.
He bought live goldfish in a bag and he eats them in front of the women while they're dancing.
Oh, that's right. And that's when I said to him, like, yeah, he's a nut job. He's definitely the killer.
But this is all to establish, like, Tories in a world where a bunch of men are just scum. And then the director starts coming on to her. Now, she can't know that this is a man who's, like, in charge of the show, and that he's coming on to her by the first thing he does is start massaging her. Now, I assumed that she was playing him to get what's going on and trying to get in the inner circle. So I thought she was overdoing, because she gets very sexual the moment he starts rubbing her neck.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you were laughing, like, oh, this is, like, orgasmic. So I was like, all right, she's definitely playing him. But then it escalates. He actually, like, rubs her inner leg at one point while she's sitting on the stage. Even the women all pointed out, they go, oh, I guess who's going to not be in the chorus and who's going to go, you know, be with him in New York or whatever. You know, like, making people famous because she's going to sleep with him. And Tori doesn't seem to catch any of this. She seems oblivious to it.
Yeah.
And she goes and has a drink. He's like, you want to have a drink with me? Now, she's a dancer. So anybody knows, like, if their show is oncoming, they have to take care of themselves.
Yeah.
And you don't want your dancers to do a bunch of stuff like drinking and partying and all that stuff, because it could affect the show. But this director is, like, obviously getting her drunk or whatever. But he says to her something along the lines of, I wish I didn't have to go to this meeting tonight, but I really have to go. And she says, it wasn't important, I wouldn't let you go. And then he starts making out with her. I was like, wait a minute. Are they falling for each other? This doesn't feel genuine at all.
I mean, I think she's going above and beyond the level of her job.
Too. I'm like, what's her goal here? She really likes him? And then we actually get a scene after this of them having sex.
Yes, but
it's just them laying on each other.
Yeah, it's really weird. That's what I'm telling you. This movie had elements of, like, some after-school special bullshit, because they literally cut out anything that had anything to do with sex or boobs or anything. However, the goddamn, like, poster art is sexy as hell.
Yes.
I mean, her boobs are just, like, being covered by, like, a thin piece of fabric.
Yeah. One of the girls on the cover, I think, has a shotgun.
Is it a shotgun?
I thought it was.
I don't know. She looks like a dominatrix.
Yeah, she does.
It is a shotgun.
She has a shotgun. And that none of that is in this movie.
No.
And in fact, I think it would have been funnier if they had the objects that were really in this movie. That would have been probably hilarious. But she goes and sleeps with the director. They're doing it. I just can't believe this is a thing. And this kind of pisses off, I think, Amos, because he is, like, he starts going after her, and he starts, like, stalking some of the other women who see him backstage, and she runs after him and, like, catches him and tries to talk him into it, and he keeps doing that switch where he seems like the villain, because he seems to flip-flop in his mind.
Yeah.
So he's like, you should be shaking your ass for the director.
Do you notice that nobody thinks anything of that switch?
No one thinks anything of it. It's like normal.
Okay.
But just imagine Zoolander coming out of Zoolander's speech and then suddenly talking like that. That's what's happening in each shot. It is crazy.
Amos?
Yes, can I help you? Do you want something?
Where have you been?
You writing a book on my life.
Do you always sweat so much when you work?
If you don't mind, I'm busy.
Someone tried to attack Holly.
Well, the way you girls shake your bodies all day, what do you expect?
Were you backstage?
More research for the book? Actually, it's none of your damn business.
What's going on?
She's trying to screw me. Oh. Sex. For a bigger part of the show.
Seriously, Logan, Holly was being attacked.
Yeah, I know. I helped her to the car. Amos.
What the hell happened at the meeting with Oliver?
Nothing.
What do you mean nothing? How come I'm never invited to those goddamn fancy-ass meetings?
The next scene you were already setting up is that he plays with the props. So he goes backstage and finds a fake play knife that has, like, the rubber knife handle, like the stabbing spot. And so he starts stabbing himself. And he's like, you know, I'm stabbing myself. And the moment he walks away and puts the knife back down, someone swaps out the knife for a real knife. And I was like, how is that going to come back? Is he going to stab somebody? Or are they going to say that he's going to stab himself?
Well, I thought at that moment, I was like, oh, fuck, he's not the killer.
That was instant. I was like, oh, he's not the killer. And I thought, I know who the killer is instantly, but I'm not going to say anything to Joe. I mean, I thought
he's going to pull that whole thing where he's not mentally challenged. He's just pretending, like verbal Kent. Yeah. You know, like that whole verbal Kent thing. But I was disappointed. I really wanted him to be the killer.
Yeah. Well, he does walk out on stage and now ridiculously threatens everybody for not including him in the play because he also owns the playhouse. And so he's like, this is what I'll do. And he just stabs himself. Now, he stabs himself, I would say, in the gut.
Yeah.
And he does the funniest, terrible, slow die on stage where nobody reacts. They just watch him.
Yeah.
And then finally, when he finally goes, he actually goes like this at one moment.
He literally went.
Bleh. Yep. And one woman finally screams. I think it's Maxine. She just screams.
Yes, but it took 30 minutes.
Yeah, they waited for him to die.
Oh, that bozo brother of yours.
This is the last time you push me out! Why in hell wasn't I at that meeting?
Knock it off, Amos.
I will not play the fool in my own theater!
And I told you, stay out of the prop room.
Just like father! I'll show you! Oh!
Amos? Oh.
God! Oh! Oliver! It hurts! Oliver! I hurt myself! Oliver, I'm bleeding! Ah. Help me.
And now the funniest part is it's his brother.
His own brother.
His brother's like,
was like completely unmoved. He was just like, oh God, you're just delaying my story here. Yeah. You're just delaying my play. Like, you know, fuck off.
So naturally the police come. And now this is where the two, for some reason, her boss... And the his police boss, chief the is big there. Boss, are all there. They're there for some reason.
Like, why is no the other police cops. Chief there?
Yeah. And they're there interviewing people. And the funniest part is they're interviewing the brother who goes, eh. They're like, you don't seem broken up about it. Yeah, no, not really.
Like, yeah,
you know,
he has a pain in my
ass. It was going to happen sooner or later. He's an idiot. You'd have to know my brother. He was a moron. So they're like, he's like, he just kind of helped me out. And they're like, well, he also had a heavy insurance policy in his brother, so he's going to get a lot of money for
it. So he got a lot of money after his brother died, and he tells the director, he's like, you know, why don't we just, like, close up shop?
Well, yeah. Well, that's what happened.
I have enough money, I'm going to just go on some island somewhere.
Because they talk torch. Because the guy's like, we have the killer, that was your prime suspect to Tori, and he was like, close it up. That was a prime suspect. He killed himself. And they're like, no, that doesn't seem right. You know, something's up. And then they talk him into keeping it open. But not before the chief of police is oddly beat up by the two wrestler women and thrown into the bathroom.
Because they thought that he was the murderer.
They thought he was the murderer. They were tracking them.
I'm like, why?
I don't know.
But what was the reasoning?
There's a scene that's actually made me laugh a lot because this guy's got the toilet paper stuck to the side of his face.
Oh my God, it's amazing.
He's beat to shreds and he's crying because he didn't get the job that he wanted. He wanted to get promoted and he wanted to be like mayor or something.
He was like, my face wasn't pretty enough. No,
he says, they wanted somebody human. That made me laugh. I was like, this is so odd that it's funny.
He said
that
too. He said, they wanted somebody
emotional.
Human.
I think they said emotional.
And my face is just not pretty enough. And yeah. Now look at it.
Look at it. And he just cries. That happens. So at the same time, the director and the brother talk. And the brother's like, I just got a buttload of money from him dying. Yeah. I'm good. Close up shop. I have enough money. We can just pay the women, send everybody home, and burn this place. And the director's like, well, why the hell am I here? And he's like, hey, man, it was either that, this just helped me so I can get the hell out of here. I hate this place. It has so many bad memories here. I can't stand it. I want to burn it to the ground, you know? The director's like, what the hell? So then, oddly, we're at the end of the movie. They're on stage. The women have not been told this yet, but the women decide to award Tori as the Queen Hooker.
No, excuse me. They call her the Happy Hooker.
The Happy Hooker.
She gets the Happy Hooker Award, which are the fugly shoes that Maxine had. And she's so thrilled to get this major award, someone's stank ass cheap hooker shoes.
Yeah, and basically these girls are calling her the hooker of the bunch because she slept with the director.
And they all know it.
And she just laughs about it.
Yeah.
She thinks it's like the best thing ever.
I thought that whole sleeping with the director thing was going to be like a ruse, you know? Like she was trying to, because she thought that maybe he had information or, there was zero investigating going on here. None of the girls got killed. There was zero investigating happening on her part. She's supposed to be an undercover cop. I mean,
yeah, and we see as she's getting the happy hooker shoes, she puts them in her duffel bag and goes and laughs with the girls. We see a hand come and search the duffel bag and find the badge. And then we also see someone grab the gun out and hide it. Or as Tori puts it, her pistol.
Pistol? Where is the pistol?
She cannot find her pistol. So she
like, now, who at this point. That?
At this point, all the girls have sent home, and the guy who owns the place, who's like shutting that whole thing down, is talking to Tori and says, "We're shutting it all down. I'm like, we're gonna close in the towel.
I don't need losses. To
after my brother died. I'm good." And then all of a sudden, out of the shadows, here comes the director dressed in the killer's outfit.
Yep.
And now he says. He goes on a rant, but he shoots the brother in the stomach who goes, oh! And he holds this little spot for a little bit. And that's
and Tori's where, sitting right next to him.
They're just standing there. Yeah. And he goes up on stage. He's like on stage, the director, and he tells his reasoning that he's the killer. And the reasoning is that from what we gathered, because we actually had to rewind it to hear it all again, is that he was molested by their father and that he hung the father, but it wasn't enough. It was this place. It's driving him crazy. And he also blames the brothers, or the sons of the father that molested him,
mm-hmm.
because they didn't stop it. Now, I want to ask you a question. The brothers would be way too young.
I'm going to go ahead and say maybe 4-5 years old.
That's what I was like, you knew? And then the brother, the one that got shot, goes, we couldn't stop him. We didn't know how to stop him. And
yeah.
then he, at hearing that, he just riddles that guy with bullets and it kills him.
I have a question for you. So, okay, so this, the director of the play, who's all upset and having mental breakdown over the fact that he was molested as a child by this guy's father, why is it the playhouse that's got him? Like, why is it this place? Because he literally lives in New York. He lives across the country.
And multiple times he says, if it wasn't for your father, I wouldn't have gotten to where I was.
Right.
So that's odd. But he says the being that this place exists, it just kills him because he was molested there over and over. And he's like, you let this happen. Everybody didn't stop it. He tortured me. And I thought killing him would be enough. So I don't know.
But so if he went there to kill his sons, why didn't he just start with the sons? Because movie?
Yeah.
But there was no other victims that meant anything.
Did he want the place to close down and set them up for the murder? Because it would have been easy. But then why take out Amos?
It makes no sense. No, Amos really took out himself because he was dumb.
Yeah, but he put the knife there to make sure he killed himself.
True, but he also could have used that knife to kill his brother or someone
else. I was thinking that too.
So he didn't know what he was going to use the knife for. But like, I feel like if you're going to take revenge on this theater and you're already away from it, you're a grown man, you've already like accomplished what you want in your career. You're a director. Why would you come all the way across the country to this piece of shit, hole-in-the-wall, rat-infested theater?
And kill women and kill pretend?
Women for no reason when you are really just bitter and upset about the guys who have the same last name as the person who molested you.
And if you hated the place, just burn it down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why go through all this trouble? And then he like pretended that he was, you know, all up in Tory and all that stuff. But he really wasn't. He tried to kill her.
Yeah, the Tory thing is the most confusing. But here's the best part, Joe.
Best part.
The best part is that when he shoots the brother, Tory books down onto the side of a chair that he, for some reason, can't shoot through.
Nah.
And she's got her duffel bag without the pistol because she says it multiple times, I can't find my pistol. She does find her hooker boots, her hooker shoes. And she throws the hooker shoe at the director. And it hits him in the head so hard that it pierces his skull. It is stuck in his skull.
I don't think I laughed that hard in the last month.
Oh, we didn't even talk about, there was like a fight where she does a jump kick. And I lost it. I was crying laughing. I could not believe. She does like a flying jump kick at somebody. I don't even remember what that was in the movie. Maybe it was during the wrestling match. But I just cannot believe some of the, just comes out of nowhere.
I mean,
they
just wanted you to know that she was on glow. But I feel like this scene is the best in the movie. And for so many reasons. Because number one, this shoe. And I'm going to post a picture when this episode comes out online of this shoe, okay? Just, there's no way that this could hurt a baby, okay? It's not even a stiletto. And you would have to be like, what is that guy, Odd Job, to throw the thing at such force to pierce somebody's skull like that? I mean, it's out of control.
It was a random task.
Random task.
Austin Powers. Who throws a shoe? Oh, I love it so much.
Random time.
Yeah. Yeah. And I was thinking like to myself, have I seen this before? And I thought, oh, in Single White Female, I believe that she hits the guy in the eye.
With the high heel.
That makes sense.
Yes.
Here, she chucks it from behind a chair. I mean, it would have to be a fastball from somebody in the major leagues.
It's amazing. But then it gets better. Because he comes after her. He pulls the shoe out of his head.
Yes.
He comes after her and starts choking her out.
I love
how
he looks at it, too. He's like, what the hell?
Yeah.
He's got his hair on it.
He's even stunned. His hair is on. It's amazing. And so he comes after her, starts choking her out. And what is literally right by her head?
No. They have a chase throughout this factory. And this is where we were laughing our asses off. Because she just throws a folding chair.
Oh my god!
Onto the floor to block his way.
It was amazing.
And he just like steps over it.
And I said, "That'll do it."
We were dying. Yeah, we were dying.
Slow him down.
She keeps doing it, and she's just like weaving in and out of like random tables, and he's just like walking through.
It was amazing. Like nothing was hindering him. It's not like, even the freaking like shoe in the head.
And when we're saying this, it is not done as parody.
No,
it is done very seriously.
Yes.
Yes.
Well, he finally catches up to her and starts choking her out. And then right near her head is that freaking, that saw.
She also ran into all the bodies, by the way.
Yeah, well, the two bodies. The two in the beginning.
There was two women in the bodies in there.
Nobody ever saw those
And they were
bodies.
Standing. They were standing.
They were standing tucked behind a door.
Yeah.
And, like, nobody ever saw these bodies there.
Amos never went in the mannequin room. That I don't believe that for a minute.
But none of the dancers did. Like,
yeah, nobody went.
Come on.
No one smelt it?
No one smelt. Right.
Yeah.
I mean, it was just so stupid.
Well, who cares? Because, like you said, the saw is.
She
there.
Took the saw and smacked him in the face with it, and he just went bleh.
When we say he gets smacked in the face, he gets a cut running down from the side of his eye to his cheek. It's just a gash.
It's a gash.
And he drops dead.
Yep.
He dies. We were sitting there waiting for the jump, like the get up, the calm where she thinks she's like safe for a moment.
No.
And then it just cut to credits.
Nothing. Nothing. There was literally nothing. You know, like not at the end where like the police come and there's all squad cars everywhere. No, nothing.
Yeah, nothing.
Nothing.
And when we say nothing, when the credits come up, there's not even music.
No.
There's nothing. It just ends. We were like, he died from getting a cut on his face.
Yeah.
Maybe because it was like a double concussion from the hole in his head from the shoe. I have no idea.
I mean, you but have he just to dies. Throw that shoe at such force that it would literally have to rip his head in half at that kind of force. I mean, it was ridiculous. I'm baffled.
Part of me was like, yes, I'm so stoked that we're watching something so insane, because it's very rare to find these crazy bad movies that are also kind of fun, because some movies are too self-aware. But this movie's also a disaster.
I mean, in so many levels. Start to finish, the dialogue, the acting. I mean, just the whole entire plot. And I mean, everything was wrong with this movie. I'm trying to find anything that was right with it.
Well, I mean, you know, we were laughing a lot.
Well, because I couldn't believe how stupid it was. I just couldn't believe it. She threw a shoe at his head. I mean, it stuck in his brain matter. Are you kidding me?
If it wasn't for the... If they would have, like, done something more with the dancing.
Or any of the girls got killed. Like, there was repeated murders. Yeah, nothing.
They came up with inventive things to do. Like, you know, Phantom of the Opera jokes.
Yeah.
Because this is a stage show. And, you know, like, it makes sense. Like, maybe do some of that. Anything.
I mean, I'd rather take Phantom of the Mall, Eric's Revenge, at this point.
Yeah. And I'll say, the dancing is so bad.
It's bad.
It's like a whole watching a bunch of friends just messing around.
It's like a train wreck. It's like, you know, watching someone repeatedly fail at, you just can't get the dance moves right. You can't get the steps right, no matter what. And you just can't take your eyes off that one girl who's out of sync, completely out of touch, should not be up there whatsoever because she has no rhythm. I mean, it's just embarrassing. Like, I felt bad for that actress because it's like they must have plucked her right out of the freaking park. Like, oh, hey, you're pretty. Come on in. I'll pay you $10. Like that kind of thing. Because there's no way that this actress had any training in anything at all.
Yeah.
So it was bad.
I'm shocked by this.
I mean, I'm not. I'm not shocked. I knew either. It was going to be bad, but I thought it would have more 80s elements that I love. You know, like, even if it just had a couple more kills, a little TNA, something, better soundtrack, I would be okay. But this was just plain bad. Like, it was straight to video, you know, made for TV crap. That kind of thing. And there was, like, literally nobody was trying in this movie. Nobody.
Yeah. I mean, I'm really on the fence. At least it was funny bad. Like, I kind of look for these kind of movies, but it's bad.
It's bad.
It's bad.
It's really bad.
Okay, so what would you give it out of 10?
I mean, I'm going to give it a 2. It's bad. The characters are just trash. There was nothing. It was nothing. I mean, there was no good kills.
No, I want to give it a 3, but...
No, you cannot. I'm putting it, you can't. I mean, there's nothing here. Look how fast we went through it. I mean, it was so fast.
Oh, I know that we're forgetting a lot of stuff. There was a bunch of scenes we were laughing around.
But silliness that we didn't need to mention because it was just so stupid and pointless.
And, hey, we always ask, is this the worst movie ever made? No.
No, so it's what not, is? But damn.
So we got our list of movies, and this is our 47th movie on our list, which is crazy that we've done that many movies.
Showgirls is still worse than this, just putting it out there.
Okay. Showgirls is worse?
Showgirls was worse than this.
Oh my God, is that
true? I hate Showgirls so much. The flames on the side of my face. I'm done. I hate Showgirls. I fucking hate Nomi. I hate her.
I don't... Okay, this is where I question it, because our top 10 is bad. Like, I don't know why I could watch any of those films again. And I don't know if this movie belongs in our top 10.
Put it down with Leprechaun in Space.
Okay, so do you think worse or better than Leprechaun in Space?
I think this is worse than Leprechaun in Space.
Is it worse than Killer Workout?
Yes.
Is it worse than Nam Angels?
Yes. Yes, it is.
Is it worse than Bloodfist?
No.
Okay, that's what I was wondering.
No, Bloodfist was trash.
Is it?
Yes.
Is it that Blood bad?
Bloodfist is fucking awful. This one's really bad too. But I mean, I can't even do my segment of why we can't have nice things.
You can if you want, because it's, and this is why I said before, there are no way that the reviews were done by friends or family or cast, because they're all one star film reviews.
Well, there it is. I mean, that I can't do it now. I'm not prepared.
You could just randomly grab one and just read headlines and laugh your ass off.
Christ, I can't even. This movie, I'm looking at the still shots of this film. I can't believe we just sat through this. And it was only an hour and 20 minutes long, but I still feel like I was robbed of life.
Aw. I think you know what? I love doing these episodes with you.
I love
watching these bad movies with you.
I love doing that.
I'm not
too.
Robbed from anything. I've gained.
I mean, I just wish that I had something yummy to eat while I was watching that stinker. But, you know, I do love doing this with you. It's my favorite thing in life. But looking at the one-star reviews. Oh, this one. Dancing with Death. I like that title. It's like a novel, though. I'm not reading it. But yeah, this one is a real stinker. I just said that. Do yourself a favor. Don't rent this waste of plastic. Use the 50 cents to buy a vanilla Coke and you will have a much better day. That's a great one.
Oh my God. That's so great funny. One.
I don't think I need to read anything else after that.
I think that's perfect.
That's perfect.
Oh God.
Oh
All
my
right.
Gosh.
Do you have any other thoughts? Parting thoughts?
You know, this movie was lacking that 80s cheese dance aerobics music, you know? I complained about it in the last movie that we did, but you know what? I would do anything to have that back right now.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, I would. This one was really bad, and with something called slash dance, I was like, oh, that's going to be rad, you know?
Yeah, isn't
it people
crazy?
Getting hacked up.
Yeah, isn't it crazy after watching Killer Workout that this movie around the same year with the same I would think budget couldn't do anything close to Killer Workout. Like Killer Workout, as bad as it is, it went all out.
It did.
It tried to do everything.
It did. It yeah. So
well, I mean, not write a script that made any sense, but at least to try what kills.
I mean, yeah, even though the script was much better than this one.
And to be fair, the high heel shouldn't be a surprise after we saw Killer Workout and someone get a closed, like a paper clip in the head.
It wasn't a paper clip, you silly. It was a safety pin.
A safety pin poking a guy in the middle of his head that kills him instantly.
Yeah.
I don't know at this point if anything can shock us.
No. Yeah. You know, that's what I'm telling you. When you said you were shocked, I was like, you know what? I'm not shocked.
I was just shocked that this was as stupid and as silly as it was, and I still kind of enjoyed it.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's weird. It's bad. It's without a doubt terrible. But
I feel like it would be better with a funnier director like Tommy Wiseau.
Oh God!
I would love to watch Tommy Wiseau's slash dance.
Neil Breen, I just would have loved to see.
Oh my God! Neil Breen would have been like putting his face all over everyone's neck and shit. He's such a perverted old doof.
You know what's crazy?
What?
This might be bad, but you know what we're saying isn't? The Christmas tree. I love that when we did the Christmas tree, I said my life goal is to get this knocked out of the top 10.
Yeah.
And the Christmas tree is almost out of the top 20.
Oh my God, it's amazing. You know, we got to make our bad movie night friends watch that.
The Christmas tree?
Yes. And I think that's what we're going to do for Christmas time. I think
just put it on. We'll tell them we're going to put on something else and then just randomly put that on.
Yep. And I hope it's during my turn.
Do you remember when I did this? But I did it with the Star Wars Christmas special.
Yes.
And they didn't know we were going to watch it. And it is by far the worst thing ever made.
I mean, I'm going to go ahead and say that that was a big fart fest. I mean, I've never seen anything like that.
It's painful.
It's embarrassing for the actors.
We didn't do it on the show, so we can't put it on our list. But if we had anything that was going to beat our top two, it's that. It was atrocious. I would definitely watch Dinosaur Island again.
I would, too. I mean, at least there's things in there that we could feast our eyeballs on.
Things. You're being generous. You mean boobies.
Boobies.
Instead of Wookiees.
Nipples.
Instead of Wookiees, we got boobies.
We got some jugs.
Let's get out of here. All right, everybody. Thank you for listening. As always, we appreciate you. You know, do all the things that you can do to support us. If you know, I'm not being pushy. Just do what you can. I appreciate it. If you even just listen and click on these damn episodes and you listen wherever you're listening, I appreciate the hell out of you. And we would love to hear your opinions. As always, please, please, please share your opinions on Instagram at Just Another Movie Night or at Joe at The Crafty Misfit. We love talking about movies in any form. So please hit us up. Tell us what you think. Give us a theme. Tell us a movie to watch. Like this whole month, we've been watching movies because one of our Instagram friends back at This Girl Loves Horror told us to watch one movie in particular, Murdicide, that we're all watching all these movies. So you give us another theme or pick of a movie and we'll build a theme around it. We love doing it. We love to hear your suggestions. So yeah, thank you again. Have a good one. Bye.
Jesus Christ, I got beat up by a pair of tits. Ah!
Police, you're under arrest.
Oh, lady, I mean, officer of the law. I know you're a cop, but do you think we could get together again? That was the greatest.
You're not only crooked, you're sick.
Oh!